This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
You know, talking about phrases I've never heard of, put out to pastures is a new one for me as a city girl, I have to tell you.
Yeah, there's no pastures in New York.
but that is...
There is a park.
I'm going to use that one at least one time today.
There is a park at 25th and 5th Avenue.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer... Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the great Deb Calvert. So, Deb, tell us how your book did this year.
It did awesome. It was exceeding expectations all over the place. I'm pretty excited about some of the inroads that we made into universities and the continued feedback that we're getting from salespeople who really feel like it's helping them to see sales differently. And sales haven't been bad either, so I'm very happy with it.
So for those living under a rock, you might want to give us the title.
The book is Stop Selling and Start Leading. I wrote it with co-authors Jim Kuzis and Barry Posner. They are the folks behind the Leadership Challenge, 30 plus years of research in leadership. And we took their research and took it to buyers and asked buyers about behaviors they'd like to see in sellers. And it turns out that sellers who adopt leadership behaviors can be tremendously more successful and satisfied in selling.
So diehard. It's very rare we have someone back on our show
exactly.
In the same year. But Deb just wowed us her first time around. And we did a whole book club based on this book because we loved it.
Yep.
So if you missed any of those episodes, we're going to pop them in the show notes. So, and before you keep listening, go back and listen to those episodes and then join us over here because there is amazing, tremendous value in that. And it's all about being, in order to be the best salesperson, you need to be a leader. So let's talk about that. And have you had new success stories since the release of the book? Have you had any stories that could be interesting to share with our diehards about how it's changed the mind of salespeople?
Yeah. Okay. I will tell you a story. So this is mid-December when we're recording this, mm-hmm. and I was working with somebody yesterday. So mid-December, end of the year. Of course, every salesperson is thinking about the next year.
Of course.
What's the quota going to be? What changes are they going to make? What's going to happen at the annual kickoff? Is the budget XYZ? All those thoughts were in the mind of the group that I was working with. And one salesperson in the group who had already read the book, it was going to be the post-work assignment for everyone else, but this intrepid person decided he was going to read it ahead of time. So he was a little, you know, braggy during the session. I told him so in person too, so he already knows. but one of the things that he had discovered and was using was the whole notion of one of those behaviors being really important is that buyers want to be fully engaged. They don't want you to do the work for them and come back and spring a solution on them. They'd rather be right there with you co-creating the solution. And he'd been trying that. And he felt like it was cheating a little bit because he had had two recent successes where he didn't write the proposal at all. In fact, he broke the mold of the sales process that they prescribe inside his organization. But he basically was having his buyers do more of the work and finding out that the buy-in came along with doing that work. So he was all over that and now a huge advocate for working smarter, not harder.
Wow, I
remember one time I was with a customer and the guy was taking all kinds of notes about what I could do and how I could do it. And he goes, "Great, can you send me a proposal?" I said, "No." So what do you mean, no? I said, "Were you taking notes?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll just sign the notes. That's your proposal." And he hired me.
Oh, man.
Right. I mean, you know, these process steps, they sometimes do get in the way. And think about it. Every time we go away and create a proposal, we are forgetting details. Our buyers are forgetting how great they felt about us individually. We're allowing room for whatever else is going to change and whoever else is going to sneak in the back door, mm-hmm. depending on how long it takes us to return the proposal. So in the moment, if we're there, if the solution is right there, why not put the
And then the salesperson calls up and says, "Did you get the proposal?"
Oh.
Like, seriously?
Just
do you have any questions? I tell salespeople to call up and just ask for the money. Is the money ready?
I'll stop by.
I love that. So why do you think companies have it so backwards? Companies are teaching this other way where you get the details, you have the conversation, then you go back and you drop the proposal. Then but they're not teaching this kind of process that you're talking about. And why do you think that is?
Well, I think the answer to that question, plus a whole lot of adjacent ones, boils down to a lack of corporate confidence, which then becomes a lack of individual seller confidence. If you're relying on a process, or if you think that your marketing materials are required to make the sale, or if you think there has to be something else, the manager looking over the salesperson's shoulder to approve the proposal, or whatever else is going on that requires that process step at all, at the core of that is a lack of confidence.
Don't you think, though, that it's also a lack of the leadership or the sales management of understanding why customers really buy? And wasn't that part mm-hmm. of the process of your book?
Absolutely. We don't have confidence in selling because we don't know what it is that causes people to buy.
What's going to trip the trigger? What's
exactly
going to make them commit to yes rather than say, well, we need committee approval, get back to you in a month, the budget's not quite done yet. All bullshit. If somebody wants to buy, they'll buy.
Exactly. And when they say that, we view that as a no or an objection or something else, as opposed to a continuance. Continuances they need to be addressed in that moment and challenged right away, because why? It's all here. Why wouldn't we move forward?
Exactly.
That's confidence.
So we all agree that salespeople need more confidence with selling. How can our diehard what are some new strategies they can use to gain more selling confidence or sales confidence?
Yeah, so confidence in selling starts with confidence in yourself. Mm. And the idea of thinking of yourself as a leader and stepping into your own full potential as a leader, unleashing that leadership potential that you have. Well, one of the reasons this is so interesting to salespeople and that there's so much success coming out of it is because it naturally causes them to be more confident. If I'm going to lead somebody to a place where they want to go, that might make me feel a bit more confident than, hey, I'm going to sell somebody something that maybe they don't want or they think they can't afford. And then there's the crisis of confidence that comes with those reservations. But I'm leading somebody to a place they want to go. I'm the guide. I'm chopping down the jungle vines that are in front of us with my machete because I've got to get them to that place. I'm doing whatever it takes. That's where it comes from.
So diehards, think about it this way. It's not about leading a bunch of people. It's about leading a prospective customer to say yes to a sale. Is that fair to say, Deb?
That is fair to say. It's all about leadership. Leadership actually just means to guide. And to lead means that you assume a position, not of authority, but of influence and having the ability to inspire someone and to help them see with clarity that the vision that's out there in front.
So if you can lead them to a vision, if you can lead them to a place where they perceive a value, if you can lead them to something that either through a story or through some metaphor that they can see, or actually even better through an idea that they can see a successful outcome, then they will buy.
Yes, we know that to be true. And if they are still not buying after you've done all of that, there's something that you've missed. And you've got to figure out what that is.
Yeah, you're not dealing with the decision maker.
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
But a lot of salespeople don't naturally think of themselves as leaders. You know, they
that's true.
That's not... Like when you're taught how to sell, you're not usually taught that you're a leader. And so how can they take on this new way of thinking, and what's the best way to just, you know, dive into that leadership role?
Great question. We have to deal with the myths and the misperceptions that are out there. So there are two dominant ones. One of them is the myth that you have to be born with some certain ingrained qualities, that you have some sort of charisma or other characteristic that make you a leader. That's not true. Leadership is a choice. It's a choice of behaviors. This is all evidence-based. I'm not making it up. Leaders are not born. Leaders are made. Well, maybe I should correct that. Yes, every single leader who has ever been was in fact born, but they also made choices that caused them to be seen as leaders who people willingly chose to follow.
But they could have had a home environment that would have spurred it along. I mean, if you grow up in a household of entrepreneurs or of successful people or even leaders in the military, you automatically understand what leadership is. But as a salesperson, you're taught how to sell rather than how to lead a customer to a place of buying. And that's where the disconnect comes.
It is. I think it's like anything. Once you become an adult, yes, we all have deficits from our childhood, and we all have opportunities that come out of what we saw and what was modeled to us. But here again, we have a choice. If you want to be a leader, but you haven't had those role models and examples, yeah, well, go find them. And it might not be your sales manager. Sales managers also don't understand that there are two parts to their job, to manage sales and to lead people. So they might not be demonstrating what needs to be seen.
And oftentimes the sales leader was the best salesperson on the team, not necessarily the best leader.
Correct. Or they didn't know what it was that made them successful. Mm-hmm. So they aren't doing it or expressing it when they're...
And you don't have to be an adult. I'm still trying.
No, I love that statement that it's a choice, because we all have come to terms here on our show that your attitude is a choice, but we've never really talked about the fact that whether or not you're acting as a leader is a choice.
Mm-hmm. And leadership, by the way, is taking control of the conversation, asking questions that create engagement, bringing ideas that prove that you've prepared for this talk, and basically being impressive. And if you have that consistency about your message, more people will want to buy. You don't have to close a sale. People will buy from you.
Exactly. And you've got to give them the clarity that comes from the questions, and it comes from not just flop, here's the proposal. It comes from helping them see themselves within that future state and the steps that it will take to get there. Because we can't operate in a fog. People don't buy when it's unclear. They only buy when you lift the fog and help them to see it.
You're always impressed when someone's prepared. Always.
Sure.
If you have the knowledge, you win.
I don't know. I think nowadays people expect the salesperson to be prepared, because if you're not prepared, they may as well go on Amazon or online or go to your competition, and they're more upset if you're not prepared.
But the marketing department in the company thinks if I give these people a set of slides, they're prepared.
Mm.
And they fool the salesperson into thinking that they're prepared for
that. That is very true.
Yeah, it's how you define prepared. That's exactly right. So being prepared doesn't mean I come with the ready-made solution. It doesn't mean I come with buttoned-up answers to every question and I fake it if I don't know them. It means I'm prepared to lead you and to find out where you want to go, asking the questions, like you said, Jeffrey, and then creating that clarity of vision. And your confidence in me as your salesperson slash leader is going to come from my ability to show you that I'm going to operate with integrity. That's a different type of leadership choice. And that I'm going to fully understand what your needs are and craft that solution with you that makes sense for you, that it's not all about me or some other.
The best way to operate with integrity is never say the words, trust me.
Or put in all those little qualifiers. Really? Honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
Believe me.
So, Deb, I love your knowledge and expertise, and most importantly, your passion for this topic. Like, it just comes through the screen when you start talking about sales and leadership. And I'm dying to know, where did it come from? Like, did you grow up knowing about sales leadership? Did you grow up, like, studying leadership? Where does this passion come from?
Yeah, where did you grow sales balls without being from New York City? That's what I want to know.
Well, I have to tell you two stories about my parents. I've thought about this a lot. So when I was five, and it didn't work out when I was five. So again, when I was seven, my dad set me up to be a salesperson. He got my little red wagon and he filled it up with produce from the great big garden we had in our backyard, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, loaded it up and said, go to the neighbors and they can have anything on there they want. Everything costs a nickel. Come back when you're done. So it didn't work when I was five because some neighbor found me sitting on a street corner crying. But when I was seven, I understood I wasn't going to go home until I sold it, but it was August and it was hot outside. So I enlisted a friend who rode by on her bike and said, hey, you know, help me. And then we'll go up to the convenience store and we'll get popsicles or something. So I talked her into selling it with me, and we did. And we split the proceeds and we went and we spent the money, and I went home and told Dad. And that was my first real lesson in selling, because he helped me to see that, you know, look, when you are the person who produces, when you put in the time and the sweat, you don't equally split the proceeds with someone else. It's fine to have someone else help you, but that wasn't the right way to do it. So I got that lesson. And then every year after that, I was the top salesperson in the Kansas City metro area for selling campfire candy. You know, Girl Scouts have cookies, but Campfire Girls, we sold candy. And it was Russell Stover, which is a local brand here. So my mom, now she took over, and she would take me out during this 3-week candy selling campaign. Mm-hmm. She would take me out door to door to door. And I was extremely motivated, because if you sold enough candy, you could get a campership to Camp Shawnee, which I loved. And I always wanted to go at least 2 weeks in the summer. So I was selling to get two camperships. And so my mom taught me the art of asking questions. She had been in the Marine Corps. One of the stints that she had in the Marine Corps was as one of the first female Marines, women Marines, to be a recruiter, which of course is selling. And somehow along the way, she had understood that asking questions helps people to see things differently. So here I am, like, you know, this little kid knocking on your door, and you answer the door. I'm interrupting your TV show. And I've got my candy, my three kinds of campfire candy. And I would start asking you questions like, you know, what are your gift giving plans for the holidays? And Thanksgiving is next week. Are you sure you have enough candy for all of your guests? And wouldn't it be nice for anybody who stopped by if they could have a box of candy? You know, and I was like planting all these little seeds. And we're talking about 8, 9 year old kid, right? Chubby little red cheeks on your doorstep. kind of irresistible. But I learned the art of asking questions, and
I love that.
I've been selling ever since then.
That is so cool.
Exactly. And obviously samples had to play a role.
No samples, because then, you know, I'd have to buy the box myself. And I learned that lesson already.
Oh,
about
my God.
How did that transition into leadership? Because that's selling. Okay, cool. But now you're all about leadership. So how'd you get there?
No, she developed the confidence along the way and was actually leading without even knowing it.
Well,
I think some of that, but I also made some terrible mistakes. I was the worst sales manager probably of all time, my first sales management job, because I was the best salesperson promoted into a sales management role against my boss's better judgment, but somebody else made him do it. And to stack the deck, I went back into a bureau office where I had been colleagues with all the same people I was now suddenly managing, and many of them had been vying for the same job. So it was not ideal. But I made terrible mistakes, and HR had to intervene and teach me a thing or two about managing. And fortunately, I was coachable. So I came around and turned that around. But it was a few years later when I was no longer in that management role, and they had convinced me to take a sales training role, which I thought was like being put out to pasture. I was livid at first. But they convinced me it wasn't. We really needed sales training. So I started up and ran the sales training department. And one day the CEO came in and said, "Hey, Deb, we need a leadership development program. Do you think you could work on that?" And I had no idea. Just like I was so clueless about sales management, I had no idea what he meant by leadership. And so, you know, "You mean like management training?" He's like, no, we need leadership development that raises all boats. And I had never heard that phrase until that moment. Raises all boats. You know, oh, this is puzzling. What am I going to do with this? So I said yes. And I went to this giant bookshelf I had, because the office I inherited had a huge fireplace and a huge bookshelf. And I scanned the bookshelf, and there was exactly one book on leadership. It was called The Leadership Challenge. Those two authors later became my co-authors on the book Stop Selling and Start Leading.
Kind of stuff,
full circle. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I got introduced into that particular way of thinking. And I'm really fortunate, because that was an evidence-based framework of leadership. It could have been some crappy book on leadership, and then where would I be? But it was the right one.
Name a few of those titles. I bet we could. What do you think?
Well, let's skip that part.
Okay.
Beep. You know, talking about phrases I've never heard of, put out to pastures is a new one for me as a city girl, I have to tell you.
Yeah, there's no pastures in New York.
But that is...
There is a park.
I'm going to use that one at least one time today.
There is a park at 25th and 5th Avenue.
oh, man.
No, but what about the boat one? Sinking your boats or whatever?
No, raising the boats.
Oh, raising.
Yeah, what he wanted me to do was have, because he had been introduced to the idea of leadership at every level, and this wasn't just managers. This was anybody who wanted to become a leader. And he was pretty visionary. His name is Art Brisbane. He was the publisher of the Kansas City Star at the time, also a New Yorker. The idea, you know, as I kind of understood what he meant by that, the idea was that we would have a program that people could come to, even if they didn't have a position on the org chart, but that they could begin to learn about leadership. And so I became a student of leadership and did a whole lot of leadership training between the leadership development work and the sales training work. That's how I eventually got the gig at the Fortune 500 I later worked for.
Cool. Very interesting background, and obviously prepared you well for what you're doing right now, because you were not just having a job, you were a student of the job
and
wanting to do the job better.
Yeah, I've just had lots of those kinds of opportunities. I've been really, really fortunate that way. But I have seen a lot of other people who have been fortunate in the same way. And I've seen a lot of other people who have also been fortunate, but maybe didn't recognize the opportunities. So I think part of it is being curious enough to see what those doors have behind them.
I agree.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So we're curious about what you're going to be doing next year.
All kinds of good stuff. So I'm going back to my first book, Discover Questions, Get You Connected. And it is going to be, the next book is going to be based on that same methodology and research. And it will be about using Discover Questions when you are sales coaching. So it's for sales managers and others who coach sellers, and how questions can also be useful to them. I'm putting pedal to the metal on the Sales Experts channel. That thing has exploded. We've got subscribers. We've got new sales experts. We've got a great following. And I want to give that the time it deserves. Last year, it was all about the book. I didn't get to do as much as I would have liked. In my own business, People First Productivity Solutions, we are focusing heavy on the management training programs that we have out there and enlisting a lot of new trainers.
Do the Sales Experts channels, do they have their own podcast, or is it all your podcast interviewing experts?
No. So there have now been 150 sales experts who they all share in the Sales Experts channel. It's meant to be a collaborative community. So they invest in the Sales Experts channel. They produce content. That's part of the price they pay, is producing content. And over on our website, for anybody who would like to find on-demand content available by topic, it's right there. You get talks, you get webinars, interviews, podcasts, whatever you're looking for. We will have a live event, maybe two, in 2019, on-site events. So we just keep growing.
In Kansas City?
That's awesome.
No, so, not in Kansas City. I haven't found a sponsor here yet, but get there.
We're going to put the links to all of that in the show notes so that diehard, you can find that more easily.
Yeah.
And Deb, I have to say, it's an honor and pleasure to have you back on our show. Thank you.
Thank you. It's always fun talking with you and with your audience.
Cool. Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.